Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Everybody have it, say amen. Let's go down to verse 4 for one verse of scripture. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou? Where the word of a king is, there is power. You go to a kingdom, there's usually a king. And the king's word is the final authority. Nobody can say, Mr. King, we aren't going to do that. If he says it, that's it. His words have power. And who may say unto him, what are you doing? The king's word has power. Matthew chapter 8, quickly. Matthew chapter 8, turn in your Bibles. Let's go down to verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. Centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, the centurion said, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. He says, if you just speak the word, you don't have to come to my house. Speak the word. He says, I understand that words have power. He says, I am a man with soldiers under me. And when I speak to them, they do what I say. When Jesus heard this, verse 10, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, have not I found so great a faith, not in Israel? And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Verse 13, Jesus saith unto the centurion, go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Let me just preach to you for a few moments on speak the word only. If you allow me to give you a subtitle today, another thought that I'm going to bring into this, and that there is power and authority in the word of God. We read here that the centurion said, I'm not even worthy in verse 8 that you should come under my roof, but he said, speak the word only. Hallelujah. Listen to the faith of this man. No doubt he has heard about the miraculous miracles of this man called Jesus. Word has gotten around. They didn't need billboards. They didn't need advertisements. They didn't need to make a spectacle on the radio or the TV. Can I tell you, word will get around when Jesus begins to heal, when Jesus begins to deliver, when Jesus begins to perform his great power in the midst of people. Amen. It will get around. That word will get around, and many others will hear it and be inspired. They will come to see, and that's what some people only do. They come to see who he is out of curiosity and interest. But in Jesus's day, he had many that just came as a spectacle. They just wanted to see a show put on. But there were some that would come because they needed something from him. Are you listening to me? What are you here for today? Are you just here to go through the rituals of coming to church? Just to see if the preacher has some good words to encourage you? Or have you come because you need something from God? Have you come for Him today? I ask you this question. We need to understand who Jesus really is. I think that in today's society, Jesus has somehow, in the midst of all of the religions of our day, has gotten muddled over, and we've got so many different gospels going around today, so many different churches throughout our nation and around the world, so many different associations and people claiming to be the true church of Jesus Christ. Somehow we've gotten muddled who He is. It is through the Word of God that we are able to know who Jesus is. Through the Word of God, we are able to know God. And we begin to see, as we study the Scriptures in the Old Testament and throughout the New Testament, we begin to get a glimpse of who God is. You can't know God without knowing His Word. You can't understand the ways of God unless you really begin to dig into the Scriptures and begin to get a glimpse through the words of the Bible. That's why in the Dark Ages they tried to destroy the Word of God, to keep the people in ignorance of knowing who God was. Thank God for men like Martin Luther, who were willing to give their life to get the Bible translated in the common language so men can begin to know God. You cannot know God without knowing His Word. The Word of God is how we begin to understand the ways of God and who God is. God reveals Himself to us through His Word. In the King James Bible, the term of God, or this term that God has said, is found in the Bible 46 times in the King James. And in 46 times, the statement God said. God speaks the word of His power. And when God says it, it takes place. All God's got to do is speak a word. And if He speaks the word, it will take place. There's nobody that can debate it. There's nobody that can say it cannot happen. God is God, and He is God alone. I feel the Spirit of God. In the beginning, John 1:1, was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Are you listening? Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is quick and powerful. You got to understand that God is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And I know we got men of great power on this earth, but they are nothing in comparison to the power of our God. He is the final authority. For all power and authority has been given to Him in the heavens and in the earth. It is our God who is an awesome God. Words in the English language cannot describe the glory, the majesty, the omnipotent power of our God. Our God rules in the heavens and the earth. The earth is His footstool. He spoke the worlds into existence by the power of His Word. Listen to me today, church. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Somebody say God. I said God, our God, not just any God, but the God of all creation. He's the one that said, let there be light. Hallelujah. You didn't hear me. He just spoke a word. Somebody say a word. He just said it and it took place. He spoke the worlds into existence. Isaiah said it this way. Amen. In Isaiah 40:8, the flower fadeth, but it is the word of our God. Amen. That, oh, hallelujah, shall stand forever. You need to understand that God's word is an eternal word. It is a word that does not, amen, burn out. It's not a word that just falls by the wayside. Many of us and great men have great quotes from years gone by. And one of the big things in today's computer age and on the computer and Facebook is the quotations of great men. And we got many preachers today on Facebook and all through the computers and putting it up on billboards. Their quotations and their thoughts that inspire people, and words that bring comfort, words that provoke thought and begin to make you think. And you've got today people making their quotations, and then they put their name down there. Pastor so-and-so said this. or evangelist so-and-so said that. And after a while, their words will be forgotten. Their words will lose its power and its meaning. Their words will lose its influence. But I can tell you this, heaven and earth shall pass away, but the word of God shall abide forever. There's one thing that will be eternal, and that is the word of our God. It rules in the heavens and the earth, for it is an eternal word, and His word has power. Heaven and earth is going to pass away, but the words of our God are eternal. The word of God created all things in the heavens and in the earth. Psalm 33 and 4, let me give you a glimpse of our God. The psalmist spoke of Him in verse 4, in Psalm 33 and 4, in verse 5 and 6. The word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth. He loveth the righteous and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. But in Psalm 33 and 6, He says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of His mouth. Oh, glory be to God. Let me tell you, it is God that literally just spoke stars into existence, spoke the heavens and the earth into existence. It is by the word of His power that all things are in the place where we see them today. How is the earth hanging literally in the place of space? How is Pluto hanging out there? How is Jupiter hanging out there? How are the Milky Ways created? How are the deep black holes in the head? Oh, you ain't hearing me. It is God that knows the stars by name. It is God that knows them by number. We can't even begin to fathom the great eternity of light years. But our God said, I created it all. I created all of it. I know every one of those stars because I spoke them into existence. And I am the one that has power and authority over all of it. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made. And all the host, the planets, the stars. You ain't hearing me. This is our God. I said, this is our God. Oh, help us today. This is our God. He's just not some idol. He's just not some piece of wood that man carved a god. He's not just some man with a fancy title and we bow down and worship him. Our God created all the heavens and the earth, and He spoke it all by the word of His power. Hallelujah. By the word. That's how the earth is hanging in the middle of space. Because He said, let there be an earth. And there was earth. Does anybody get a glimpse of the power of our God? We can't begin to even understand the glory of our God, the majesty of our God. Our God is a spirit. Oh, He is omnipresent. He is omniscient. He knows all things. He is everywhere. It was the psalmist that said, I can go to the highest heavens and He is there. I can go down to the pits and in the lowest place of hell and my God is there. I'm talking about our God. He is almighty and He rules in the universe. And even beyond the universe, He is still God. It is all His. Psalm 33 and verse 7, as we continue, He gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depths in the storehouse. Verse 8 says, let all the earth fear the Lord, and let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. In other words, you cannot even take our English language and the languages of this earth cannot even justify using the most well-pronounced words. And men will try to impress you by their good speeches and with their education of using words that will provoke you. I've heard some preachers preach and I don't even understand some of the words they're saying. I thank God for a good education, but at times, brothers and sisters, they lose me with some of those intellectual words. But can I tell you, oh, there is a word that we have right here. It is called the Word of God, the internal Word. And when He speaks the words, oh, brothers and sisters, we need to understand His Word is powerful. I said it's a powerful word. And that Psalm 33 and 9, the Bible says, for he spake and it was done. It's done when he speaks. He commanded it, oh, and it stood fast. Psalm 33 and 9. God speaks to us today through his Son. God who in sundry times, Hebrews 1 and 1, and God who in sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto us of the fathers and by the prophets in the Old Testament, Hebrews 1:1. In Hebrews 1 and 2, hath in these days has spoken unto us by his Son. God spoke in days of old through the prophets. When the prophets came into your city or into your village, you knew that the prophets represented God. They were the mouthpiece of God. They were men that spoke not just about God, but they spoke on the behalf of God. Would to God he would give us some men today that would stand behind the pulpits of America and around the world that just wouldn't be a bunch of storytellers, a bunch of preachers that would just talk about God and what God did in yesteryear. I thank God for what he did in years gone by, but I'm more interested in hearing what God is saying today. What is God speaking to the church today? We don't need men that will just talk about God because they've got a memory verse or they've studied a scripture, they've got some type of sermon ready, but we need to hear men that have something to say. We need some men that are true prophets, true preachers, true evangelists that can come and say, I'm not going to just talk about the things of God, but I'm going to bring a word from God. I'm going to come right down where you're sitting and I'm going to begin to say, this is what the Spirit is speaking to you today. And can I tell what some of you need today? You need a word from God. You need to hear God speak to you. Some of you are in some battles. Some of you are fighting some situations where you need a word. And without that word, you will have no faith and you have no hope in the power of what God can do for you. Because you need to understand that it is through the word of God that all things consist. All things are because of the spoken word of God. He spoke in years gone by through the prophets, but today he has spoken to us by his Son. The Bible says here, spoken to us by his Son in verse 2, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, hallelujah, who being in the brightness of his glory, Hebrews 1 and 3, and the expressed image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power. Oh, I thought somebody would have got up and shout right there. I'd like to hear somebody say, that's my God. He's the one that his word has the final authority. Death has to flee when God speaks. Oh, healing has to take place. If God says you're healed, then you're healed. If God says you're set free, then you're set free. I'm talking about my God. Give me a word today. Some of you need a word. Some of you need God to speak a word. Speak the word, oh God. It is here in this 8th chapter of Matthew that we begin to see the authority of the words of Christ. In the 7th chapter, he's come down out of the Mount of Olives, preaching the most powerful message that Jesus preached on the earth. Well, hallelujah. We don't have time to get into that. You can read about it. Blessed are they. Amen. You know the message. He comes down out of that mountain after preaching to the multitudes. Amen. And he begins to display the power of his word. Can I tell you that's what takes place when the real word of God is preached? It's not just brought forth in words only, but it's demonstrated in power. Oh, listen to me. Would to God you would give us some men today that would just have only a word, but would have a demonstration of the power of that word. We've got enough preachers today and churches today that yes, they've got a word, but where is the power? Where is the anointing? Where is the deliverance? Where is the healing? And oh God, I'm praying today, give us here more than just a good preacher, more than just a good congregation of people, but give us some people that not only know the word and preach the word, but they have a demonstration of the power of that word in their lives. The letter killeth. I love a good preacher. We need more of them. But our preachers need to take it a little bit further and say, God, We need to see the evidence of the power of that word. Paul came to the Corinthians, and you know he was a great educated man, full of wisdom, knowledge, and truth. The Lord had to give him a thorn in his flesh because of the great revelation, knowledge of truth that he had. But oh, hallelujah, he was brought into the realms of the Spirit, and he was given wisdom and knowledge and understanding to understand the Old Testament, how it unfolds in the New, and it interpreted that Old Testament. What was he seeing? He was seeing Christ in that Old Testament. He was beginning to understand that all through that Old Testament, every type, every shadow, everything was a picture of the Word. Hallelujah. And I'm not just talking about the Word. I'm talking about the Word that was made flesh. I'm talking about the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among men. It was Jesus Christ, the living Word, the Word that stepped out of heaven down into a little virgin's womb. And then when he went into her womb, he was born of a virgin. Oh, it was the angels that announced his coming. Oh, it was the angels that said, unto us today is born in the city of David. Oh, a Savior, a Savior. It was the Word made flesh so that it could dwell among common man. God loved his people enough to send his only begotten son down here upon this earth, born of a virgin. Hallelujah. I'm feeling better than you are today. But I'm telling you, I'm here to inspire you, to let you know, oh, hallelujah, this Word has power. This Word has authority. And what you need is to say, God, give me a word. Speak a word to my spirit. Speak a word to my situation. Speak a word into my circumstances. Speak a word to me in the bottom of this valley. Speak a word to me in the midst of my chaos, in the midst of my confusion, in the midst of my dilemma. I need to hear a word from you, O God. It is the Word of God that will give you faith. Because faith comes by hearing. Many of us do not have faith because we do not hear from God. You don't spend enough time in His Word. You don't spend enough time in His presence. You do not get into a place where God can talk to you. Brother Will was teaching on the tabernacle of entering into the Holy of Holies and the process of how the gate on the outer courts is wide and open to all. But as you draw closer and closer to God, oh, can I tell you, it gets narrower and narrower. And I'm telling you, it's a narrow way, and only a few that will be there. Oh, only a few that will be there in that narrow way, and only a few will find that way. Can I tell you, it's only one way. There's only one door to heaven. His name is Jesus, and He came to save us from our sin, wash us by the blood, sanctify us through His Word and the washing of His Word, to bring us into a closer relationship with Him, that we can enter in to the throne room of God and receive grace and help. How many will admit, I need to hear from God? I'm dealing with some things where I've got to have God speak to me. I've got to know what the next chapter of my life is. I'm here to talk to somebody that needs to know. Because when I was praying in the early morning hours, oh, I heard the Holy Ghost say, many of my people have not heard my voice, and they're waiting for a word. That's a good place to be, is waiting for counsel, waiting for direction, waiting to hear something. Because I'm going to tell you what many people do, is they get out of the will of God without first getting instruction from God. Amen. And I'm going to tell you where many of you are at, is that you do things thinking you heard from God on your own. The Bible calls it leaning to your own understanding. The Bible says, lean not to your own understanding. When I was a younger baby Christian in the Lord, I thought I heard from God in some situations and circumstances where I had to make the right decision. And can I tell you, I missed God. Amen. I lean to my own carnal wisdom and knowledge and understanding of the circumstances. It wasn't time to go. It wasn't time to do that. And I went ahead and got ahead of the will of God. I got out of the purpose and the plan of God for my life. Let me break this down to right where you're at today. If you don't hear from God, you will get out of the will of God. If God said go there and stay there, then you go there and you stay in that place until God speaks again. But many of us lean to our own understanding, begin to let the natural circumstances of this life begin to dictate. I feel a prophetic anointing right now where there's some of you that are getting ready to make some decisions, but you better know you've heard a word from God. For it is the word of God that is a lamp unto my feet and it is a light unto my path. You need to walk in the word of God and the word of God only.